Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, welcome back to Adrenaline Realms Thriller Channel. I'm your host, Neil Helligers. This is False Idols, Episode 11. Enjoy.
Not only am I Farawadi's cousin, I'm a volunteer translator at the Rothkopf Gallery. I see and hear a lot. If the Fayum relics are circulating on the black market, I might hear something about it. Alberto paused, considering this. Encouraged, Layla continued. You might even find you need a translator at some point in your work here. And I don't charge a fee. That should be music to the ears of a humble journalist, she added, looking down at his scuffed loafers. Alberto took off his glasses, quickly cleaned them on his shirt tail, and put them on again as if to see her better.
All right, he said. You win, I will tell you about the Fayum. But quickly. And if anything in my story sounds relevant to something you know, I trust that you will tell me.
You have a deal. Catching sight of the Kafars rounding the corner, Layla quickly turned and continued up the stairs. Let's talk up here where we can find some quiet, she suggested. They walked up to an alcove with an arched window, away from the crowds, and sat on a bench beneath it. Palm fronds rustled outside in the breeze. Alberta looked around, then turned to her and spoke in a low voice.
5 months ago, a collection of relics was looted from a small museum in the Fayum. This crime made the news, but very quickly the story died. Can you think why?
Nobody cares about that museum, Layla guessed. It's small.
Correct. Because no one thinks of Fayum, the crime begins to feel like ancient history. The story gets buried under bigger stories. And nobody cares about amulets either, because Egypt has so many. They are constantly surfacing at excavations and earthquakes.
Layla frowned. That's not true, she said. I mean, I agree there are tons of amulets in Egypt, but I also know some of the socialites are collecting them to wear as unique pieces of jewelry. So, at least some have to be valuable enough to be desirable. She thought of the article she'd read from Tanaka's nightstand, published before the looting.
I happen to know there's some scholarly interest in the amulets from Fayum, she added. They were believed to be magical because they came from a group of magicians and healers.
Alberto smiled.
I am impressed, he said. You know of the article by Dr. Catherine Danforth?
I've read it. It was interesting.
Were those among the relics that were stolen? They were, in addition to a marble frieze and a collection of 6 vases and statuettes, said Alberto. I have reason to believe that someone commissioned Dr. Danforth to write that article in advance of a planned looting.
You think it's a fake article?
No. Dr. Danforth is a legitimate and a respected scholar, said Alberto. But her article and the several others about the Fayum artifacts were published around the same time. It is possible their efforts were financed by someone who wanted to give the items more value, anticipating they would surface on the black market at some point.
And that's who you want to meet with at this party? Layla asked. Is Dr. Danforth here?
Not her. I have already communicated with her in London. I am here to speak with a different scholar who wrote of a Fayum frieze, also in advance of the looting, he said. If the same person commissioned or financed the research of all these scholars, that information would lead me closer to the organization responsible for the looting. And what organization do you think that is? Layla whispered. Alberto pressed his lips together and shook his head. I have told you the lead I am pursuing, and I can say no more. I have to protect my sources. Layla nodded and shifted uncomfortably on the bench. A new, dark theory was beginning to take shape in her mind. She didn't want to go there, but she had to. Are there any pictures of these looted relics? I'd love to see what they look like, especially the amulets.
The museum posts the photos online in an effort to aid recovery, said Alberto. Unfortunately, they are not yet registered with Interpol for complicated bureaucratic reasons. So despite the photos, they are easily sold to gullible buyers with cash to spare.
Ah. He looked past Layla. She turned and saw an elderly gentleman with a cane making his way down the hall to another gallery.
The scholar I am seeking. I must speak with him now.
He handed her his business card.
Take a look at the Fayum Museum website. If you have seen or heard mention of any of the relics in question, let me know.
Sure, said Layla, placing the card in her purse. Her mind was racing, the dark theory now growing and taking a monstrous shape.
Or you can reliably find me at Zamalek Rooftop,
he added.
In the Nile Zamalek Hotel, where I am staying. It is my favorite bar in Cairo.
He then flashed her a smile, a warmer, more genuine smile this time, and hurried to catch up with the elderly man. The two of them turned a corner and disappeared into an adjacent gallery. Remaining on the bench, Layla took her work phone out of her purse and quickly Googled Fayum looting. The first link she saw was in Al Ahram, a major Egyptian newspaper. She skimmed it. The article was brief and contained no accompanying photo, but the facts seemed right. Thieves raided the museum's storerooms and took 20 items, including a collection of 10 amulets. The amulets had belonged to a very specific group of professional magicians, or amulet men, and were said to bring great fortune upon the wearer. Kiyoshi Tanaka had been interested in Dr. Danforth's article, enough to flag the page in the magazine. Did that mean he would be open to buying such a relic if it appeared on the black market? Heart pounding, she went to the Fayum Museum website. It was a humble site, full of broken links, but eventually she found what she was looking for. The stolen treasures of Fayum. She scrolled through several vases, statuettes, and decorative pots until she came to the amulets. She scrolled through the thumbnails, taking in the beetle-shaped jewelry, the stunning greens and blues of the glazes, the intricate patterns, until she came to the last photo and nearly dropped the phone as her suspicion was confirmed. She enlarged the photo and gazed at the jade beetle with the distinctive, intricate pattern of markings on its wings. She knew exactly where she'd seen that scarab amulet before. Hanging from Jehan's neck, it had been purchased by Noor Ghaffar. From none other than Bennett Rothkopf. This was the unique item he had gone out of his way to procure for an astronomical sum.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
There was no time to go back to her apartment and change, or even to kick off the high heels from hell. She didn't have the blue hijab disguise she usually wore to the safe house, but she would have to take the risk and go there in her party attire. There was no time to lose, and Pierce, infuriatingly, was once again not answering the burner phone. Or any phone. When a cab saw her and slowed, she immediately hailed it and sped toward the safe house neighborhood. She had proof Bennett had purchased and sold a stolen item. A recently stolen item, so hot it was radioactive. Now they had to figure out from whom he had bought it, and if he'd sold similar items to anyone else. Just how deeply was Bennett into this deadly game? Was it all part of a desperate move to pay off his debts? Or was he a man with no conscience? And James, he thought so highly of his father, imagining his one flaw was the gambling addiction. He saw the gambling and the related debt problem almost as a disease for which Bennett needed help. But dealing in illicit relics? That was no illness. That was criminal activity. James had no idea who his father really was. Or did he? That new thought chilled her. Maybe she was being naive, willfully so, by not considering this idea sooner. Furious as she was at Pierce for being AWOL again, she had to talk to her about all this. She had to tell her about Alberto. He could prove extremely useful to their investigation, as long as they played their cards carefully with him. Plus, she liked him. She felt an uncanny sense of kinship with him, as if she had a colleague out there working toward the same goal. With Pierce's permission, Layla wanted to meet with Alberto and get him to look into Noor Ghaffar's purchases. She could tell him she'd heard a rumor of Noor purchasing a costly amulet from Bennett Rothkopf. She could get the evidence she needed without having to ask too many questions herself and keep her careful distance from Gamal Ghaffar. Layla had the taxi driver let her out at an intersection a few blocks from the apartment. After making sure the taxi was out of sight, she ran to the safe house as fast as she could. Hobbled by the ridiculous shoes, she slipped them off and ran barefoot. As she neared the safe house building, she slowed to a brisk walk, not wanting to attract attention. It was nearly 10 p.m., but a warm night, with families strolling through the streets eating ice cream and a group of boys playing soccer. As she passed each streetlight, she ducked her head, shielding her face from view. Most of the women wore hijabs and modest clothing here, and she could feel the stares. The call to prayer blaring from the nearby muezzin interrupted some of the street activity as people turned to face the mosque out of respect. Some men pulled out pocket prayer rugs and dropped to their knees. Layla took the opportunity to pick up speed toward the safe house. A stray cat near the safe house building yowled and skittered out of her way.
It seemed almost an eerie incarnation of the damned bronze cat she bought from Bennett Rothkopf. And she cursed it for making noise and drawing more attention. Layla ran up three flights of stairs and down the open-air corridor to the entrance to Pierce's apartment. Seeing no light from under the door or around the shuttered windows, she guessed Pierce had gone to bed early, or maybe was working in the back bedroom. But if she was asleep, that would explain why she hadn't answered the phone again. Pierce's sleeping habits had seemed extremely erratic lately. She always looked either tired or wired. Propelled by her pent-up energy, Layla wanted to burst into the apartment. But the last thing she needed was to piss off Pierce by startling her. Or worse, make her think someone was breaking in. She could easily be greeted at gunpoint if she didn't watch herself. She knew Pierce slept with a pistol under her pillow. She entered the dark apartment and softly closed the door behind her.
"Pierce? It's me, Layla," she called out. "Are you here?"
The only answer was the call to prayer still audible outside, and the drip of the kitchen faucet, which hadn't been turned off all the way. Water was pinging off one of the hedgehog coffee cups in the sink. Layla turned it off, noting the remains of a half-eaten meal on a plate, and a couple of blood-spotted cotton balls. She guessed Pierce had had a minor kitchen injury. She continued down the hallway, toward Pierce's bedroom. She knocked softly, then pushed open the door. Moonlight leaked in through the closed shutters and cast a striped pattern on the white sheets that made Layla think of prison bars. Prison, she thought guiltily, where Bennett would shortly end up, thanks to the information she was about to reveal to Pierce. She backed out slowly. Maybe it wasn't too late to back out of the safe house and leave this whole Alberto chapter unreported. She heard a scraping sound in the bathroom. The door was closed, but a ribbon of light leaked out from under the door. Layla paused before the bathroom door. "Pierce?" No answer, only the low thrum of the bathroom fan within. She waited a respectful minute, then jiggled the doorknob. It was locked. Then she heard an indistinct sound against the white noise of the fan. A moan. Layla had never kicked down a door before, and if she was wrong, this could be a huge violation of privacy. This was her boss, not some criminal suspect. But alarms were going off in her head. Something wasn't right here. She studied the door hinges to make sure it swung inward. She was relieved to find the door was made of cheap, hollow-core material. Minimal force would be required. Her high heels would be useless, though. She ran back to the bedroom closet and rummaged for Pierce's standard-issue size 9 steel-toed boots. She laced them up tight. As she ran back to the bathroom door and hiked up her cocktail dress for more range of motion, a word from her conversation with Bennett popped into her head. Grit. She backed up, took a deep breath, and placed a forceful kick directly at the weak point below the doorknob. The doorframe splintered. The door gave way. Layla stumbled forward and staggered into the bathroom. Pierce, wearing earbuds, sat on the tiled bathroom floor in a nest of bloodied cotton balls, gauze, and bandage wrappers. She was holding her right leg just behind the knee, as if she were nursing a wound, her pant leg rolled up high. Layla realized the earbuds and the bathroom fan had probably muted the sound of her entering the apartment.
"Pierce, oh my God, are you hurt?" Layla asked.
Then she drew in a sharp breath as the pieces came together. Pierce, glassy-eyed, looked up at Layla. She quickly unrolled her pant leg, but not before Layla saw the piece of rubber tied above her knee and the syringe in her hand.
False Idols is written by Lisa Klink, Patrick Lawyer, and Diana Wren.
performed by Lauren Ezzo. Produced by Amanda Rose Smith. FBI advisor Robert K. Whitman. Theme music by Amanda Rose Smith. You're listening to Adrenaline False Idols, created and produced by Realm, your portal to another world. Listen away.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
Adrenaline is produced by Nicole Kreuter and Kaylin West. Associate produced by Devin Shepard. Executive produced by Molly Barton and Julian Yap. Hosted by Neil Helligers. Audio editing by Kaylin West. Original theme by Marcus Bagala. Original cover art by Kindle Thomas. Find more shows like this on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.